Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage coming to you for the next half hour with all things Ole Miss and Mississippi State here on this production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today, this first podcast of 2017. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm still under the weather, kind of about the same as I was when we did our show last week. I guess we did it on recorded last Friday, and I was sick then, and here it is Thursday, and I'm sick again, so. Are still sick. Just still dealing with that. And I think a lot of people are with just the way the crazy Mississippi weather is there. I mean, it's 70 one day and snowing the next. I know we're supposed to have some pretty cold temperatures rolling in this weekend. And, I've got a trip to Baton Rouge, I guess, planned to cover the basketball game on Saturday down there. So at least I'll be heading south. So maybe some of the, maybe it'll be a little bit warmer temperatures down in your neck of the woods.
Well, the weather is making news this weekend, and we'll both be traveling in it, both be going south, but you got to get south first. So you're starting a little bit farther south, and so that's good. And you're right. You're very unlikely to see snow in Baton Rouge. Just hope you don't see flood. I guess that's the big thing. Baton Rouge, Denham Springs. Just better check the level at the Amite River before you cross the bridge. But
get a hotel room on the second floor at least.
Yeah, well, you know what? I stayed in a Hampton Inn in Denham Springs. My mother's house is still not ready. It's about three quarters there, and she's living in it and making the improvements as she goes along. But we stayed at the Hampton Inn in Denham Springs as we were visiting for Christmas. And, of course, you're right. It was rooms available on the second, third, and fourth floors, but it was a lot of construction going on the first floor, and they had a lot of water there, as they did in most places. So, anyway, weather's coming. Not supposed to be the big snow event that it was 2 years ago, according to Matt Lobhon at WTVA, following him on Twitter, and he's trying to dial back the kids' expectations of snowfall. But we'll be careful traveling in it for basketball this weekend. Folks, before we move on, I want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts to search for, productions of the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, coming to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. And check out Prep Rally every Wednesday with Gene Phelps, Blake Morgan, and Brad Locke getting in there as well. And Logan and I are here with you every Thursday or Friday, give or take, whatever the schedule is most conducive to. So we're going to talk some Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Logan, I was able to catch up with Sid Salter earlier in the week. I did want to see what he had to say, the MSU spokesman, on the stadium vandalism. We talked about that a little bit last week. That occurred December 17th, the Saturday before Christmas Eve. And not surprisingly, no arrests have been made because we'd have heard about it if there had been. But Sid said basically, quote, "We've cleaned up and moved on." Now, we knew they cleaned up. That happened the day after. But the moved on part, kind of indicates they're not, how hard are they pursuing the investigation? Maybe not that hard. I know a theory, I've heard a theory floated north of Starkville that it might not have been an Ole Miss fan that did the damage to the stadium, that it might have been an MSU fan that painted those Ole Miss slogans around Davis Wade Stadium. I'm not all in on that theory, Logan, but what do you think? Do you hear any talk about it anymore from your end down there?
I haven't heard that mentioned in weeks. I mean, you're right. It seems like they have just moved on from it. I mean, I don't even hear any chatter around Starkville, people talking about it. I mean, they've seemed like they've had bigger fish to fry, than some, spray paint on the stadium. And I know people were very upset, when it happened, but it seems like, once the, paint was removed and, a couple of days passed and, you know, there's more important things to do. You know, Christmas and all that other stuff. Had a bowl game to get ready for. New Year's, all that stuff. You know, I just haven't heard anybody even talking about it. Even amongst the media people. You know, we've all had enough to do, I guess, since then. You know, that it just hasn't really even been brought up, even amongst us. So it just, you know, and of course, I haven't been in Starkville the whole time. I was down in Florida for, you know, a week of that time. So, you know, perhaps I missed something, or perhaps I'm not running in the same circles as some people in that area and, you know, that stuff. But, you know, from you know, everybody that I've talked to, you know, since then, you know, it just hasn't been brought up.
Well, it really kind of struck me because I am such a fan of stadiums, and I'm particularly a fan of the strides that State and Ole Miss both have made in improving their stadiums. With those big SEC checks coming in now, since the SEC network has gotten its feet under it, these schools getting in excess of $30 million in the spring from the conference, and they've really they've had their own fundraising campaigns as well, and they've done such good work at both stadiums. I just hate to see either of them vandalized. And I was, you know, I was concerned at the beginning that you know, this could escalate and, you know, and you begin to see tit for tat. And, you know, I hope that it has passed and that it has died down like that, and that we don't see one person trying or one group trying to up the other in doing damage like this. So we'll see, but MSU looks like has moved on from that. At least that's the statement coming from their spokesman, Sid Salter. Let's talk basketball a little bit, Logan. Ole Miss and State both looking for their first SEC win. State got a little bit later start. They had kind of that that open week when a lot of other teams were beginning SEC play. You know, SEC play started in December, Logan, for the first time since 1991, according to Craig Pinkerton's notes, when Mississippi State and Vanderbilt played in late December. But tell us a little bit about what you saw from MSU against Auburn, and we'll hit the Rebels' two games as well, both of them looking for that first win.
Well, State played Alabama Tuesday night, but anyway, you know, State started off really, really well in that game. You know, you could tell those freshmen were excited to play in their first SEC game. They came out and jumped out to a big lead. Alabama had to call a timeout, you know, really early in that ball game, probably 3 minutes into that ball game. State was up 9-3, and, you know, the hump was rocking with, you know, a few, you know, they're still having trouble drawing, you know, a good number of fans to the men's basketball game. So, the folks that were there were excited. It was a good atmosphere for, you know, for what they had there. But then State went about, you know, they had hit one of their lulls right after that timeout, and Alabama raced right back ahead, and Alabama controlled the entire first half from that point on and led by 12, going into the half. State went just ice cold, especially from the arc, but it didn't stop them from shooting three-pointers. They just kept on shooting from the three. They were 1 of 14 in the first half, Paris. That's a 7.1% from three-point range in the first half. But he said the fact that they weren't falling didn't stop them from shooting. They just kept on shooting. They shot 25% from the field in the first half. I mean, they were just horrible. They couldn't make anything go in. And some of them were even layups. It wasn't just all three-pointers. They couldn't get anything to fall. And then they came out of the second half again on fire. You know, it's like they, you know, when they took court in the second half, they jumped right back ahead, pulled back within a few points early on. Alabama had to call another one of those timeouts and, you know, got the crowd back involved. State tied the game twice right after that timeout. Had a chance to take the lead after they tied it up. Had a wide open dunk. It was a great feed from Xavier Stapleton to Eric Holman right up under the basket. Stapleton kind of drove in and drew the defense away. Stapleton made a great pass to Eric Holman down on the block for a wide open dunk, and he missed it. He got rejected by the rim. He got 6'10", and just, you know, you could probably slit a piece of paper up under his feet on that play. I don't know what happened, but he didn't get a good start and got rejected by the rim, and, you know, Alabama got the rebound, drove it down, and hit the layup and took the lead again. State tied it up momentarily right after that, and then it was just all of Alabama down the stretch. Every time State put forth the effort to get close, Alabama just started making plays right after that. State just could not get the defensive stops that it needed, and Alabama ended up winning that game 68-58. Alabama didn't play that great. I mean, I just didn't see a great basketball team out there. They were okay. And, you know, State's just got a long way to go. They've got to, they were out rebounded quite handily in that basketball game. Let's see if I can find the rebound totals here. I can't see it on here. But anyway, they were out rebounded by 10 or so in that ball game. That's kind of where they lost it. You know, State just struggled to get rebounds and get stops. And that's something they're going to have to improve on. They're going on the road for the next two games. They play at LSU on Saturday, like we talked about earlier. Then they go to Arkansas on Tuesday. So State's going to have to get some stuff done on the road if they want to try to pick up that first elusive SEC win. But, you know, they had a chance at home to get that and fell short.
Is it just about youth with this team? I mean, what do you think is keeping it from being more consistent?
Well, I think youth has a lot to do with it. I mean, obviously, they're the youngest team in Division I basketball. I mean, out of 351 teams, they rank 351st in inexperience. But, you know, Hugh Weatherspoon is a key to their success. I mean, they go as far as he takes them. He had a really poor game against Alabama. He was 2 of 11 from the field. So he just didn't play very well at all. Was held to 7 points. He was averaging 26 points a game in his previous two games and 19.1 points per game for the season. So, he's been kind of the driving force for them on both ends of the floor, and he just didn't play well. He didn't play well defensively. Found out after the game he was dealing with some tendonitis in his knee a little bit, but, didn't have a good game defensively and surely didn't have a good game offensively. So they need a Hugh Weatherspoon to come out and play a better game than he showed on Tuesday.
Well, Ole Miss dropped its second game. We talked about the Kentucky game last week. You know, the Kentucky game for these teams right now, Logan State and Ole Miss, it's going to come and you just move past it and you do the best you can. I mean, neither of these teams are equipped to upset Kentucky right now. And, you know, the Wildcats certainly had no trouble with Ole Miss at the Pavilion. So, you know, that put Ole Miss in a difficult position. It put them in the position of having to win a road game this week to avoid an 0-3 start to SEC play. They were not able to do that at Florida Tuesday, falling 70-63. And it was one of those games, again, that Florida just really controlled, you know, throughout. The Gators led by as much as 20 points, and Ole Miss cut it to 6 before they lost by 7. But it's one of those things where, look, you've got to – this flurry at the end is fine, but you've got to make shots while the game's on the line. You've got to make the plays that help determine the flow and ultimately determine the outcome of the game. One of the bright spots the last two SEC games, these two SEC games, for Ole Miss has been the play of DeAndre Burnett, the transfer from Miami. This is a guy that the Rebels are counting on to be a big-time scorer, and he was struggling to shoot a competitive percentage through the back half of pre-conference play. I mean, most games you're seeing him down in the low 30s, maybe less a couple of times. Well, he's shooting close to 50% into SEC games. He was 6 for 12 against Florida, 2 for 5 from 3, 18 points. Had a good game, okay? But he's got to begin to make shots and make plays earlier in games while they're not decided. The Rebels have to find a way to stop from falling behind. And while Burnett has come on, Cullen Neal, the New Mexico transfer, has taken a little bit of a step back. He couldn't even get off a shot against Kentucky. They were so fast that Neal couldn't find the spacing or the angles to get to the rim. He couldn't do that. And, you know, they pressured Ole Miss really hard beyond the free throw line, you know, out on the edge, that Neal just had trouble getting off shots in general. And he only attempted one against Kentucky, got in foul trouble. That was a problem as well. So only 4 points for Cullen Neal against Florida, 2 for 7 from the floor, 0 for 4 from three. And these are guys that they're counting on. So they need both of them playing well at the same time. It is good news that Burnett appears to be playing a little bit better. Sebastian Saiz has been the most consistent Ole Miss player and was again at Auburn with 15 points and 13 rebounds, another double-double. But the difference in Saiz against Florida, the difference in Saiz against Florida and against Kentucky was that he was dominant in the post again. Kentucky really locked up on him there, pushed him outside. He attempted a lot more three-pointers than the Rebels need him to. He hit 1 of 3 from the arc against Florida, but he was 6 for 9 in the lane. And that's where they need Saiz to score and do damage, and he had a really good game there against the Gators. So we'll see what Ole Miss gets done at Auburn on Saturday. And Logan, you know, coaches don't like to use the phrase must win, but it's kind of reaching that for Ole Miss and Auburn. Auburn, which is also 0-2. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and our high school sports podcast, Prep Rally, with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. Brad Locke's in there as well. He's everywhere. And Logan and I will be back with you next Thursday or Friday, but we'll be back with you late in the week for all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss on Double Coverage. Come join us.